Okay, so he came out here and told y'all to boo for me. He actually told y'all to boo for me. See, this is the thing with DC and RC. Every time this dude tries to turn my friends, you, against me. So you guys can't fall for the trap of Ryan Clark doing that. He's had enough cheers in his life playing in the Super Bowl.
Well, guys, this is what... See, I've come to the UFC Expo, and I'm here with DC, and everybody's always loving on him. Oh, we like you so much. Oh, you're a big...
You guys should. Come on, let's go. This is how they feel, Brian. This is how they feel about me here.
Hey,
I'm home.
Everybody's like, he's a big teddy bear. He's actually a bad person. I just want to let you know, every show, DC tells a lie. Every single show.
Let me tell you something. It's not a lie if you believe it.
And guys, and after he tells a lie, we have some sort of competition, and DC cheats. You would think, being a UFC Hall of Famer, right? Being a guy that was a two-division champ, he would have some sort of honor. He would understand you don't have to win all the time. But no, every single time, if you ain't cheating... You ain't trying.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Hey, let me tell you something. A lot of great human beings have lived by that motto, and I have made it my own. Guys, I'm Daniel Cormier. This is my guy, Ryan Clark. Ryan and I have been doing this show for 2 years now. We started the show 2 years ago, and I didn't think that we would make it 2 years. We have made it 2 years because you guys have supported us, and you guys have really willed us to be where we are today. And we are so thankful for your support and everything we do. And we appreciate, hey, I know you guys paid attention last week. ESPN got rid of a lot of great people. Yeah. Ryan and I are safe, and a lot of that is because of people like you who tune into what we're doing every week.
Thank you. No, wait. We are extremely grateful. I'll be honest. I just took the show because I figured I just had to do it for like 2 weeks, and then they cut it anyway. So I didn't think it was going to be a lot of work. And they offered me money up front. So I was like, well, even if the show don't make it, y'all gonna pay me, right? So I was good with it. Now that we have made it 2 years, we started the show here at International Fight Week three International Fight Weeks ago. This is our second year of doing it. But what I'm excited about is normally we have a guy named Corporate Jake. He's one of our producers.
Yes.
He's always a part of the show. Corporate Jake is not here, right? So I was tasked with finding someone that watched more UFC fights than both Daniel and I put together.
Yes.
We had to find someone that had more passion for the UFC than, again, both Daniel and I put together.
Yes.
And it was very easy for me. So I want to introduce you guys. This is DC. I am RC. I want you to meet my son, JC, Jordan Clark, who will be one of our guests today.
Give him a hand, guys. Guys, Jordan is a senior. He plays defensive back at Arizona State. What makes him so interesting is that this dude just loves this way too much, and he shouldn't. So, Jordan, thank you for joining us, man. Let's take a seat.
Appreciate y'all having me, for real, for real.
Okay, so
here we go. Corporate Jake is now in our ear. We're sitting in front of these people, and we're going to have a conversation about a sport that I'm way too scared to participate in.
Well, no, you just agreed to a fight in the back.
I did agree to a fight. I'm going to fight on some old man card that Daniel runs. And it all started because my son, my beautiful, beautiful son, who I let play football, right? Because I was like, football, I understand. Just informed me that he is going to take at least one mixed martial arts fight when he's done playing football.
I think everybody should take at least one fight. So hats off to Jordan for stepping inside an octagon.
Why would you want to step into the cage, son? I blessed you with that face.
And a lot of money, too.
I could see if you had that face. That's the face of a fighter.
This is the face of a good-looking man is what it is. Let me tell you something, guys. I don't lack confidence. Jordan, what's our first topic of the day?
Our first topic of the day is going to be, who is your favorite male UFC fighter in the past 30 years of the UFC?
All right, guys. So today's conversation is going to be centered around the UFC and the 30-year anniversary of this great company. So we are going to list some of our favorite fighters. Whether or not you agree with us or don't, let us hear it.
Whoa.
Oh, here we go.
Bro, I just got here. You gonna take them?
Hey, sorry I'm late. I'm sorry I'm late, okay? DCRCMC.
Gotta go, man. I guess you gotta go, JC.
Jordan, you just got here.
I'm late, dude.
You about to take you down?
All right,
show
MC.
Me that question mark. I know, yeah, we got
all right, so guys, normally it's DCRC and MC, so Michael Chandler decides he wants to bars the stage, so Michael Chandler gets to go. So let's pivot. Guys, let's pivot. Ryan's
up. I like that. I like that.
You like that?
I have a question.
Yep.
I have a question.
Okay.
Were you really ready to throw hands with Connor when he pushed you in your face?
Yes. You know I was about to throw hands with Connor. First of all, hey, did you guys enjoy that episode?
Yeah.
Hey, and also, just so everybody knows, my man Kurt Hollaball's in here somewhere. My man from Mississippi or Louisiana. But yeah, I was ready to throw hands, dude. Dude put his hands on me.
He pushed you in the face. So I look at you a little different because you didn't throw hands with him. So I'm sitting here kind of looking at you like I might push you in the face.
I wish DC would.
Right, hey, I mean,
I
why
wish
don't
DC
you, my guy,
push me in the
I
face?
I mean, why don't you come push him in the face? You letting people hit you?
Hey, you felt like he a little soft?
I mean, you could look at his body and tell he not soft. He got way too many muscles.
But in the back, DC talks about my body a lot.
In the back, you said, why would you want that many muscles, though?
So here's the problem, right? And guys, you guys can agree with me, right? You look at me and I am the ideal look of a male human being. Michael Chandler, I would not want to look at myself in the mirror in the morning if I look like Michael Chandler, because it's disgusting. He's got veins everywhere, muscles everywhere. He needs to do something and put on a little bit of weight, eat something. But like I said, guys, we have to pivot to not the best male fighter of the last 30 years. We're going to go to our favorite knockout of the last 30 years, because as you guys know, Michael Chandler had a tremendous knockout against Tony Ferguson where he kicked him in the face. He didn't train that. I don't care. Look at that. There's a picture of Michael Chandler's knockout right there.
There it is.
It does not matter how many times Mike tried to tell you he practiced that. He just did that.
Well, he looked like a kicker anyway. It wasn't a front kick. This wasn't Anderson Silva, Vitor Belfort.
Yes.
This was, I'm going to draw it all the way back from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if it lands. And when it landed, it was absolute.
I was just trying to punt his head off like a football.
Absolutely.
You know, like I played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. what DC was saying, though, I didn't practice that kick a lot. I don't practice that kick a lot. I honestly remember in my head going, let's see if this works. Boom. I kick him in the face.
Mike, so let's start with you. Mike, let's talk about the favorite knockout over the last 30 years. I don't know if you prepared for this, but I do know you're a student of the game. I go, we can start with yours if you think that's the best knockout you have seen in the last 30 years.
Man, that's a tough one. Let's see if something comes to me. What was it? Kevin Lee knocked out Gregor Gillespie.
Oh, that was bad.
Was that the infamous one where y'all were on the or was that Benil Dariush against the other guy where it was you, John Anik, and Joe Rogan?
Oh, you're talking about him? Benil Dariush versus Jakar Close.
Jakar Close.
When Benil Dariush was getting hurt bad and he ended up finishing Jakar Close.
One of those two are my favorite for the simple fact that when they fell back on the cage, they were hung up on the cage.
Yeah, it was Gregor. That was bad, tough.
You know what? I'm going to go a little more off the beaten path because the superstar knockouts we know. Tyron Woodley, Josh Koscheck was a hell of a knockout, right? That one was good. And you know which one was big and unorthodox to me? When Jamahal Hill knocked out Johnny Walker.
Oh, yeah.
Because you remember it was the glancing blow at the top of the head and he went forward to go back. Right, I ain't never seen a man fall both ways at one time.
He defied gravity by going forward and backwards.
Yeah, that's bad.
So that was two good ones.
All right, here's mine, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because for me, it's about the moment, right? I remember it was July 4th weekend when Chris Weidman took on Anderson Silva, and Anderson Silva was the guy that we all thought was the best. He would start to talk to you, and guys would almost freeze in front of him, but not Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman kept fighting. And just, guys, think back to the feeling you had when Anderson went down. Because it's not just about him getting knocked out. It's about what that moment meant to the future of mixed martial arts. Because Anderson never touched that belt again. And at a time, we thought he would never lose that championship. But I remember, man, Chris Weidman walked out here with that American flag on July 4th weekend getting booed because Anderson was that big of a star, and he knocked him out to become the middleweight champion of the world. Michael Chandler,
Michael Chandler, we know that, man.
You got stuff to do, my guy.
I do.
Thank you for joining us, man.
Thanks for letting me crash your party.
You guys give Michael Chandler a hand.
I appreciate y'all. God bless. I'll see you at the top.
All right, guys, we're switching seats. I'm going to sit here. Jordan, you sit on the opposite side, my brother.
Jordan, so what would be your favorite knockout? Because all you do is sit at home and use my ESPN Plus password to watch old fights. Anyway, what is your favorite knockout in the last 30 years of the UFC?
The greatest striker of all time, Anderson Silva, knocking out Forrest Griffin, easily.
That was a good one.
Easily.
Why is it easy, though? Why is it easy?
Because it just looked so easy for him, man. You know, he went up to light heavyweight after dominating middleweight, man, and he made it look simple. So that's definitely my favorite one.
That was the first fight that I ever seen in my entire life. I got to tell you something, man. People sometimes are just kind of ruthless. Because you know what I just heard? DC Jones. That's messed up. No, people are just messed up. Who said that?
Hey, DC, you know what?
Who said that?
I'm going to be honest, man. When I look back at that, I think more people should embrace the fact that you taught us all it's okay to cry.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't even remember crying. I once saw a video of me walking from the octagon, and I looked at it, and I was like, well, that's the first time I've ever seen that. And when did that happen? Bro, getting knocked out is the craziest, craziest feeling that you could ever experience because you don't remember any of it. I don't remember anything after getting kicked because it's just gone. And then I recall getting up and being in the ambulance. And I looked at my manager and I said, hey, what happened? And he told me what happened. And I broke down in tears because it was the biggest moment of my life. 5 minutes later, it had kind of washed away. I literally looked at him again and I said, hey, what happened? And he told me and I had the same reaction. Getting knocked out and being concussed in that manner, you just go through those emotions. I might have did it 5 or 6 times before it finally sat in that it was over. And guys, that's why when you watch these champions and you watch these athletes out there, you got to really appreciate and respect what they do because it is life and death for them. And for me on that night, it became a meme, but it really did stick with me for a really long time.
As a guy that's been knocked out a ton of times.
Well, do you remember the way you played football?
Yeah, but
They literally changed the rules because of the way you played football.
I know, but that's like the thing about being knocked out is it actually doesn't really hurt.
No, it doesn't.
You know what I mean? Like you immediately go and then you wake up at some point and at some point you start to remember. For you though, Joe, when you think about what these fighters go through and now having an opportunity to meet them, how do you feel when you see someone get knocked out knowing, even in playing your sport in college football and now knowing these guys, what they put on the line every time they step into the octagon?
I mean, I feel like you can't help but have such an immense respect for the guys and what they do because these people are training for months for a fight that could be over in seconds. So, I mean, I just have an immense amount of respect for those guys that put their life on the line, put their health on the line for all of our entertainment, for the sport that they love.
Well, why would you want to do it though, son? That's my problem.
Because they're thugs, they're legends, and I want that too.
All right, guys, so greatest knockouts, great conversation.
Yes.
But, guys, I want you guys to give me an answer. What do you guys think? We're going to get into our favorite male fighter of the last 30 years. If there's a name that rings out in your mind right now, what's that? That is expected because he is a fantastic fighter. But for me, I'm going to tell you who my favorite fighter of the last 30 years is. And it might come as not surprising because I'm a guy that really values his teammates. But my favorite fighter of the last 30 years is Cain Velasquez. Because, guys, Cain Velasquez was going to be the greatest heavyweight we'd ever seen, and it was going to be by a mile. It was not going to be close. Think back to when you first saw him come out with that brown pride tattoo and he would throw up the Mexican flag on his arms. This guy was beating people and he was making it look easy. It was not competitive. What he did to Big Nog was crazy. What he did to become the champ against Brock Lesnar was crazy. And then those fights against Junior Dos Santos, those two fights that made him reclaim the championship, showed you the level that Cain Velasquez was at. And if not for all the injuries, guys, he would have left a mark on his sport that would be untouched. RC, who you got?
Oh, for me, I'm gonna go last. I wanna go last because I basically wanna see who y'all pick, so I pick somebody else, to be truthful.
Conor McGregor, Izzy Adesanya.
Wow, Jordan.
Because all
ignore this man, Jordan. Tell us.
I'm surprised he didn't say one of the Dagestan guys, honestly. Oh, I was thinking Habib or Islam stuff, for man. Sure.
Hey, I did not do that.
First off, I just want y'all to know that Daniel Cormier is not proudly from the state of Louisiana. See, like, the two of us are proud that we're from Louisiana. Every night when he gets on his knees and he says his prayers, he was like, Lord, you've only let me down one time. Why couldn't I be from Dagestan? Why do you? And then he starts to talk like him and everything. Why do you forsake me and I not have beard? Like, what he wants more than anything in his
life. This dude disrespectful, man.
What he wants more than anything in his life is to have wrestled a bear as he was growing up.
If you don't stop, your 44-year-old fight going to be against me, man.
Well, looks like I retired before I started. Jordan, who you got, man?
No, I think Cain Velasquez is a great answer. Might I add, he's an ASU State alum, Arizona State alum. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so he is
Arizona. Shout out Cain Velasquez. But my favorite of all time is Charles Dupronx Oliveira, and it's not even close. It's not even close. The adversity that he's overcome time and time again, the big fights that he's won where everybody counted him out, Dustin Poirier, you know, beating Justin Gaethje, you know, beating my dog Mike Chandler, who took the mic from me a second ago. He's a legend, man. He's truly a legend, and he's my favorite for sure.
That's a good choice.
So where do you have Dubronx ranked if he's able to beat Islam
Mahachev? When he beats Islam Mahachev.
Oh.
When he beats him, when they fight next, he's the greatest all time.
He's the greatest lightweight of all time.
In that weight class? Yes. He's the greatest lightweight of all time.
See, that's the problem.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yes.
The greatest lightweight of all time? Do you guys think Charles Oliveira is the greatest lightweight of all time?
If he beats Islam,
is he the greatest lightweight of all time?
He is.
Wow.
The people have spoken.
The people have spoken.
I don't know why I agreed to let you up here, man. This shit is crazy.
So here is what my favorite fighter of all time is Daniel Cormier. And I'm gonna say this, we are a football state. Like, that's what we do. To see Daniel become a champion in two divisions, but do it and I be able to relate to him. When he's, the things that he's talking about food, the way he's talking about culture, the way he represents his family, the love he had for Miss Audrey, all of those things felt like what I grew up with. It felt like me. And to watch him in a sport that at the time wasn't big for us, right? It wasn't something culturally that we were locked into. We didn't have a lot of champions. We didn't have a lot of guys that we could look to in the UFC and say, you know what, I can relate to him. And for him to do it at such a high level, but also be, I mess with him, also be the way he was as a man, right? The way that he represented with class, the way that he approached the sport as a professional, and being a 5'10" dude who didn't have a ton of muscle and who was really ready to fight anybody in the world. Never turned anything down.
Thank you, my brother.
No doubt. No doubt. That's my...
Guys, thank you guys. Thank you so much. Guys, it would be doing these guys a disservice if we didn't mention John Jones, Khabib Nurmagomedov, Anderson Silva, BJ Penn, Chuck Liddell, the great George St. Pierre, all those guys that came before, all the fighters that we listed. The UFC is not who it is today if not for all those men entertaining us and putting their bodies on the line at a time where it wasn't as universally accepted around the world. Because right now, MMA is one of the greatest sports and the most recognizable sports. There was a time when there was nobody really watching, and those guys are the foundation for which all of this, guys, take a look around. All this does not exist without people like all these other guys and the guys that we listed on our list of our greatest, our favorite male fighter of all time.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
So we talked about our favorite male fighter. Let's think about the 30 years of the UFC and with the way it started, not having weight classes, not having time limit, hell, barely having rules, right? Into what it's become today where it's truly a sport. The men and women that perform inside that octagon are athletes, right? They're starting to take it seriously from the time that they can walk, from the time that they can move. If you look at those 30 years, who do you think are the five most dominant athletes to ever grace the octagon? Hey, we now, remember this, guys. I said five.
Five most dominant.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If Daniel Cormier gives us six people, boo him. If Daniel Cormier goes 1A and 1B, boo him.
All right.
If Daniel Cormier says honorable mention, boo him.
Dog, stop. Stop, stop. You can't be putting all these rules in place before I start my list.
It's a top five list.
All right, you ready?
Yep, go ahead.
At number five, I got a bit of a tie. What? Dog, wait, it's hard. We're talking about 30 years. You want me to do five?
I want five.
All right, at number five. At number five, I got a little bit of a tie, right? Most dominant athletes of all time. Because I think domination. At number five, I got Ronda Rousey and Jose Aldo. Together. Together. Most dominant of all time. At number four, I got Georges St. Pierre. The way he dominated the welterweight division for a long time was really second to none. This guy was tremendous. At a time where it was very difficult to beat all the contenders that he had. At number three, I have Anderson Silva. Because Anderson Silva was considered by many the greatest of all time. To the point that he actually was going to get to fight Roy Jones Jr. because he was out of options as competitors. At number two, I have Khabib Nurmagomedov. Undefeated, undisputed, 29-0. Dude lost one round in his entire career, and honestly, it pains me to say this, But at number one, I got to kind of pay credit to the guy that beat me twice. Because let me tell you something. If you beat me, you got to be a bad boy.
You're a bad boy.
So this was the deal. At number one, I got John Jones. And not just because he beat me, right? I got John Jones because he beat me. He beat Rashad Evans. He beat Rampage Jackson. He beat Shogun Hua. He beat Lyoto Machida. John Jones beat probably about 9 or 10 UFC champions over the course of his UFC title reign. And when you do that, regardless of what everybody thinks, you should be considered one of the most dominant people of all time. I still don't like him, but I can respect what he did inside the octagon.
How do we feel about DC's list?
It's the best. It's literally the best.
I will say this. His number one shocked me, and I want to shake your hand. It's like the first time I've ever watched you be unbiased.
Well, here's the... What? I'm never biased.
Well, no. I thought Islam would be two, and then I thought...
Hey, let me tell you something. If Islam can continue to do what he's doing, he will definitely... Because, dude, regardless of you thinking I'm biased, the way that he has beat everybody is crazy.
It's been impressive.
The only guy that challenged him, really, is the guy that's fighting in the main event this weekend, Alexander Volkanovski.
But after the fight, when you saw Islam, he didn't look like a dude that won the fight.
He looked
defeated. Walked around like he lost.
But, dude, Alexander Volkanovski said yesterday it wasn't a robbery. He said, dude, it was a good close fight. And if he got the win, I have no problem with it because it's not a robbery. So I don't get how you guys can call it a robbery.
I didn't say it was a robbery.
The dude, he lost the fight, man. It is what it is, bro. I know you like these dudes, you and Jordan. And I'm getting tired of this. I'm getting tired of y'all ganging up on me up here.
Hey, man, I'm training Muay Thai now.
Huh?
I'm training Muay Thai now.
Oh, you better be training wrestling. You don't mess around with me. Go ahead, Jordan.
Okay, Jordan, what you got?
At five, I go with you. I put Jose Aldo at five. Didn't lose for a decade, man. He's unreal. At four, it's tough. I put Khabib at four.
Khabib at four?
Yes.
Who?
Dominance, I put Anderson Silva at three.
Yep.
I put Anderson Silva at three. Amanda Nunes at two.
Oh, dang, I forgot Amanda Nunes.
And then John Jones at one. Yeah. That's my five.
You cannot put Amanda Nunes over Khabib.
Why?
Why I can't?
Her reign as champion was much longer.
How many fights did Khabib pull out of?
He won.
My man got the Khabib hat on. Where the Amanda Nunes hat?
He also has on a bikini.
he also wears a bathing suit.
The Khabib hat and a bikini. Yeah. Hey, and he didn't think nothing about manscaping before he came here. My dog came out with chest hair.
I want him up here. Come up here, man.
You want him
security,
up here?
To... Let this guy come up here for a second, man.
You want him up here to do what?
I want him to come say hi so the people can experience this like we experienced it.
Look at my dog outfit.
He look good. He got a beard too.
Hey, what he is right now, he's a female fighter from Dagestan. Like, that's what he is right now.
You tripping, Ryan.
Man, look at my guy. Y'all let my guy in back there, man. Get him a security pass.
Get him a pass.
Get my guy security. At five, wow. At five, most dominant fighters.
Yes.
At five right now, I go Alexander Volkanovski.
Oh, I forgot about him too.
At five, I'm going to go with Alexander Volkanovski. At four, I'm going to go with Anderson Silva at four. At three, I'm going to go GSP. Two, Amanda Nunes. One, John Jones. Yeah!
Let's go!
Man, why you interview my guy? Right. My man, how you doing?
Hold up. Dressed like that, man?
I want to represent the spectrum of MMA from the Ring Girls to Khabib.
Oh! Wait. I respect that.
Wait, but...
He is 30 years of UFC by himself.
Hey, if 30 years in UFC was a picture,
this is the picture.
Guy right here, yeah.
What's your name, man?
Pavel.
My name is Pavel. Pavel, how are you enjoying International Fight Week?
Oh, it's amazing. Energy's great. Fans are enjoying it. I love all the attention.
Hey, guys, give it up for Pavel.
Give it up for Pavel. Sorry. Thank you. What time is it, Pavel? It's Khabib time. He got Khabib on his watch. Guys, let's talk a little bit about the main event, right?
That made you want to cry a little bit, huh? A
little bit. I mean.
That made you want to cry.
Guys, he's definitely emotional.
What about Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson?
That's an overlooked guy.
How in the world do we forget about DJ and the dominance that he had? You remember when he threw the guy up in the air?
The arm bar.
And the guy fell down. He got him in the arm bar. He would do things that just amazed us. I know he's not here anymore, but DJ will always be remembered, respected, and we will always, he should always be honored in the UFC for what he did.
It was his unceremonious, like the way he left the UFC. It was almost as he was the best in the world that we had, and then all of a sudden, he was no longer there.
Yeah, guys, we're almost done. We got 10 minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about Volkanovski versus Yair Rodriguez this weekend. Who's going to the fight? Let me see a show of hands. Ooh, a lot of you guys. Y'all must be
Got money.
Y'all got money because them tickets are expensive.
Ooh, y'all got cash.
Hey, who y'all got? Volk or Yair?
Volk or Yair?
Who got Volkanovski? Who got Volkanovski? Who got Yair Rodriguez?
Well, I will say this, DC. I think Alexander Volkanovski in a loss to Islam Makhachev just showed how complete of a fighter he is. And when you look at Yair, you think Josh Emmett, he was totally dominant.
Yes.
Max Holloway even had to start to become a mixed martial artist because he was so awkward and so daring with what he would attempt to do from a striking standpoint. I believe Alexander Volkanovski is too well-rounded, too skilled, too smart to get caught with one of those strikes. And I think he dominates this fight against Yair to a decision.
Wow. You think he dominates?
I think he dominates.
What about you, Jordan?
I'm saying with you, man. I think that Yair is such a unique striker. He's such an explosive athlete. But at the end of the day, Volk is too well-rounded. I think he's too complete everywhere. And I think he dominates for 5 rounds. Unanimous decision.
You know, when I look at this fight, right, it's a tale of two different things. We could look at Volkanovski's dominance, but I think you have to kind of go back to some of his performances. For Yair Rodriguez, he is a tall striker. He's also a southpaw that fights at range, and he throws a lot of kicks. Early in the fight against Brian Ortega, if you think back to rounds 1 and 2, he found a lot of success from that stance against Volkanovski. He was able to strike with him. He was able to land. He was able to put Volkanovski down. Guys, Yair Rodriguez is a better striker than Brian Ortega. Yair Rodriguez is a more dangerous striker than Brian Ortega. And it's in those moments where I find the belief that Yair Rodriguez is much more of a player in this fight than most people think. Because the reality is, most believe that he is going to get dominated. But when you really look inside the numbers and you look inside the battle, the striking ability, Yair Rodriguez is real, and he's here to win. That is one of the overwhelming themes that I'm getting this week talking to the fighters. Nobody feels like they're outmatched. Even Val, who's fighting against Bo Nickel, he believes that he's going to beat Bo Nickel even as the biggest underdog in UFC history.
But, DC, you can't step into the octagon and look across at your opponent and go, oh, there's no way I could beat this guy.
No, but you do know in the matchup, RC. You can watch the matchup and go, this is going to be tough.
DC, but what you got to decipher is when you talking to these dudes.
They'll never tell you that.
Who the hell is lying? Somebody lying.
Yeah, but you could tell though, RC. I'm telling you. Just knowing fighters and talking to fighters, you can see in their demeanor or just inside. It's not just the word that's coming out of their mouth. It's what's behind the words. You can see behind the words with some of these athletes. And I'm telling you, Val Woodbine, that kid believes he's going
to
win.
You know what? I think you look at Bo Nickel. We haven't seen him, at least to me, I haven't seen enough of him inside the octagon to be like, okay, he's unbeatable in this situation, even though he's the heavy underdog because Val had to take this fight late.
Yes.
But Yair Rodriguez, he should believe he can win.
Absolutely.
He's done enough inside the octagon against high-level talent.
Yes.
But I just believe Alexander Volkanovski is different. And I believe that difference shows in some of those moments. It won't be what we saw with Josh Emmett. I think the Brandon Moreno-Pantoja fight is the one that has me kind of the most confused in the sense of being able to pick somebody. They fought 2 times before. Pantoja won. He's a guy that comes straight forward. He's a great submission artist. And he is tough as nails. But Brandon Moreno is all of those things, too, and the champion. I know he's looking for a Mexican flag right now.
100%.
Because he's been saying, Viva la Mexico, since we got here. Why do you believe so much in Brandon Moreno against Pantoja for the 3rd time?
I think if you go back and watch the Ultimate Fighter fight that he lost to Pantoja, and you look at the second fight that they had, That is a completely different person from the Moreno that we see now. I think that he's eons better on the feet. I think that he's better on the ground. And I think ultimately, as the champ, you're already 25% better anyways. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So I think that he's 100% going to get it done this time. And I think that is going to be a banger of a fight, though.
But when you go back to the first fight, he gets submitted after what looked like a great first round against Pantoja. What's to say that Pantoja can't do that again? Because Pantoja has the dominant first round, though, in the three-round decision, and yep. Then we saw Brandon Moreno kind of find his way. What is going to be different about Moreno this time than we've seen the first two times?
I think that you're going to see him control distance better. You know, I think he's going to stay away from Pantoja. He's not going to allow him to rush him. I think that on the ground, he's going to compete a lot better in those grappling exchanges. And I just think that he's just a way better fighter than he was then. If you look at the way he fights, how composed he is, he's much better than he was at that time.
Yeah, he's a much better fighter, but you got to watch that second fight. That wasn't close.
Dominant. It was dominant.
Pantoja dominated him. And when you talk to Alexandre Pantoja, his confidence level is through the roof because regardless of who you are today, guys, you still fought that man twice. And in the two times that you were inside of an octagon with him, he beat you. And I don't care how good you are, how tough you are, that has to live with you. And if you do make the mistake of trying to forget it, it's ultimately going to come right back up.
Yeah.
The one instance I can go back to is, guys, I fought the late, great Anthony Rumble Johnson twice. And in the second fight, the moment he went back to the same position, he was reminded, and that's when he got submitted again.
So 100%.
What up, though? Look at this pretty boy.
He got two Cobra guys.
Woo-hoo.
He's a pretty boy, too.
Look at this model. Drew, what up?
That's Jordan. Yeah, Drew, sit there.
You got it, bro.
I got the hot seat.
How's it going, Drew? How is International Fight Week for you?
Oh, man, it's a blessing. I get to hang out with all the people that give me the opportunity to fight for a living. You know, I love all you guys, and, man, this is my moment. Plus, it's a fight week, and I'm not cutting weight in.
Yeah. It's always fun whenever you don't have to worry about, one, making weight, because we all know how difficult that can be, and, two, getting punched upside the head, because getting punched upside the head while the money's fun, it's not the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I love to do for a living,
yeah.
So I'm a little mentally unstable that way, but I'd much rather get punched in the face than cut the weight, so.
Yeah, it is true.
So, Drew, you know, like Daniel doesn't have the same problem you and I have, right? Daniel didn't grow up like us, if you know what I'm saying.
You mean pretty?
Yeah, pretty.
Bro, like, I'm pretty.
You're not pretty. Well, you have the face pretty. Of a fighter.
I got the face of a beautiful man. He started doing the show with me, and immediately he said his wife has friends, and they're like, wow, that DC is something else, boy.
I've never said
something.
That.
He said, boy, she said, all of my friends think DC is just the best, RC. He's so beautiful and caramel.
Hey, Drew, the type of lying this brother does is crazy. But for you, man, being at International Fight Week and understanding what you've had to put in to get to this point, How much pride do you have in your journey so far as a mixed martial artist?
Man, it's the pride of putting out fantastic fights every single time I'm in there, and
yeah.
People seem to appreciate it. And, man, I love when people appreciate my work and the fact that it makes me even more hungry for more.
That's awesome. You've been in some very, very high-level, entertaining fights. How soon would you like to get back in there? And, like, who would you want to see the next time, right? Because, Drew, we know that when Drew Dober's in the octagon, it's going to be a fun fight.
Yeah. I mean, the sooner the better. I mean, my body's all healed. I'm back in the gym. I'm just trying to create some beautiful violence, and I think Fazeev would be a good matchup for me. I mean, I'm eyeball in the top 10, and so I want all that. And then maybe the winner of the Hooker and Turner fight.
Drew, so this is my question for you, man. Like, when you're an exciting fighter like yourself, like, we expect When the cage closes, we know we're going to get instant explosion when you're inside the octagon. How do you weigh your style of fighting against winning a fight, right? Putting yourself in harm's way, giving one, taking one to give one. Because I know you want to be exciting because that's how you get the money. That's what puts people into the seats. But it's also about the W's.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the ideal is catching the W's. But I mean, that's just how I live my life. I'm a risk taker and I chase greatness. And unfortunately, you got to take some to give some. And so I'm not trying to be entertaining. I'm just living the way I want to live in and out of that octagon.
Drew, I mean, this guy wants to know what's up with your face. Like, why you look so weird?
Oh, yeah, my giant jaw?
You had a giant,
I got a fat head. Oh, what is that? Man, that looks good, though.
That's Dale. That's Dale.
You are pretty.
Bro, that is terrible.
I was a good dancer on All About That Cake and Chicken.
No, you weren't. Actually, it's the most embarrassing moment of our friendship.
Really?
Yeah, whenever somebody brings that up, I always make sure they know that was before I met you. Because real friends don't let friends dance for chicken and cake.
One of my buddies was there, and he goes, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with this. And he left. Drew, thank you for joining us.
Man, thank you so much. Time.
Thank you for
coming. Guys, give it up for Drew Dober.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you.
All right, guys, Jordan's coming back. We got one last thing before we go. RC, what is your favorite moment
of the
last 30 years? Just the moment that stands out to you that ultimately you'll never forget.
And I know you're going to say I'm a homer and like I love this guy. My favorite UFC moment is still Conor McGregor's 13-second knockout over Jose Aldo.
Yeah, that was a good one.
You know, I got to meet Jose today. It was one of my biggest fanboy moments. You know what I think of him.
Yes.
I thought at the time, a decade-long winning streak, I thought he was unbeatable.
Yep.
And for Conor McGregor to basically call his shot, to be brash enough to say the things he said to one of the greatest to ever do it.
Yep.
The whole buildup of that fight and then cash it in and become a guy who is now a UFC legend forever, no matter what else happens, that is the most memorable moment for me.
That's a fantastic moment. I remember when it happened and thinking, Conor McGregor's made now. Yep. He's going to be made forever. Jordan, what about yours?
Easily when Israel Adesanya knocked out Alex Pereira. Easily.
Really?
You know, we were just talking about how, you know, Pantoja, you know, beating Moreno twice, that's something that sticks in your head. I think that for Izzy to be able to overcome that, that's a sign of a true champion. That's a sign of a legend. And I was absurdly geeked about it.
All right.
I also got to realize.
Last one.
He dang near, he watched the first Izzy-Alex fight walking back to his apartment from the game they had played Washington State and lost. Yeah. So he walked himself home.
Hey, bro, why you telling
home.
All my business, too?
Yeah, my bad.
My dog lost the game, then Izzy lost.
So it was not a good day for the Clarks.
That ball must eat a lot of ice cream.
Hey, we were not winning.
All right, guys, my favorite moment. Let me set the scene for you. I'm going to set the scene. Let me get a little comfortable.
This is like Santa Claus story time.
It's International Fight Week. Let's turn the clock back to July 7th, 2018. A young, no gray in his beard, Daniel Cormier, goes up to heavyweight to challenge Stipe Miocic for the heavyweight championship of the world. Okay. Daniel Cormier walks into that building with one belt. He walks out as the double champion. At the right hand for him.
The crowd goes wild.
The crowd went crazy. They were all screaming his name. DC, DC, DC. It was the greatest moment of my entire life. I'm telling you, I could not sleep, bro. When we left, my entire family were driving down the Vegas Strip. They're hanging out of the cars with two belts. It was nuts. I stayed up all night long because I had the adrenaline was so crazy. Guys, that adrenaline is second to none when you step into an octagon. It's amazing.
DC,
those guys do that this weekend.
Could you, even walking into the octagon and envisioning winning, because I know you always envision getting the dub, could you have imagined it would feel like that once you won? Oh!
Here comes Kamaru Usman. That's my boy right there. Oh, wait, stop. Stop. What you doing?
But you always talk about...
All I said was that your pants tight. They look good on you, though, champ.
That's why I got to choke you. That's why I got to choke you.
Now you got to check me with that ass.
What up, dog?
Guys, give it up for the former welterweight champion of the world, Kamaru Usman. Wait, you leaving already?
Are you going now? Sit down.
Yeah, we just want to get a couple questions.
Yeah, you got
my
it,
bad.
Man.
I didn't want to take your spot, my man.
Usman, let's hold court a little bit. How you feeling, champ?
I'm feeling good. Looking good.
You do look good.
I'm here with you, too.
You kind of smell good, too.
I mean, you know, you got to look good, feel good, and smell good, too.
Hey, ask him, though. Honestly, ask him, who's his closer friend, me or you? Like, that's my dog now.
So y'all only friends in fashion. Because y'all will both wear some weird stuff.
Don't put me in this situation. That's y'all off, beef. Don't put me in this.
First off, me and Kamaru clean. We stay clean.
That's true. Like, as far as being fresh.
You're not even in a separation.
In the conversation of dress?
Yes.
I don't even try. I mean, listen, man. I'm an everyman. I'm a meat and potatoes type of guy. So just give me something to wear. If I could wear my sneakers to work, I would wear my sneakers to work. You remember during the pandemic when Shaq would do his show in his drawers? I would have wear my drawers with a suit top on if I could.
Hey, Kamaru, man, you know, after coming back from London, I've seen you back in the gym. What is your focus right now? Is it like I'm just going to get back to fighting? Or do you still have your eyes on that championship belt?
For me, it's about just loving the sport, loving it again. You know, after a while, when you're at the top and you got all these obligations, you're going here and there, you start to lose your routine. And something that I learned very early in my athletic career is that the routine is how you could truly measure your strides. Yes. Because if you come in every day and you do different things, how do you know if you got better at it? You know, once you have your routine, that's when you know, dang, that used to be hard. It's not that hard anymore. So just getting back into a routine and loving that part of it again. And, of course, getting to spend a lot of time with my daughter.
Kamaru, talk to me about Justin Gaethje. He's getting ready to fight for the BMF title. You're in Colorado. You're in his training camp. That's your brother. How is Gaethje looking right now as he tries to avenge that loss to Dustin Poirier?
I mean, this is the real BMF title fight right there. Don't you guys agree? That's the real BMF fight.
Wait, so what you trying to say, that Diaz Masvidal wasn't for the BMF? So you over here just hating on them dudes?
I'm no hater. But Justin Gaethje versus Dustin Poirier or Nate Diaz versus...
You know what? I'm going to say this. Like, Masvidal Diaz was like the DMF fight. It was like Dana White's baddest mother ever.
It was like the tough dude on your street, the dude with the rap. Then you know a real fighter on your street. So that's what that was.
How excited, though, are you to see Justin get that opportunity to get that belt back?
I'm extremely excited, and I don't say this just as a teammate of his. As a friend of Justin Gaethje and watching him, I don't want to say mature, because, I mean, Justin Gaethje came into the UFC fighting nothing but five-rounders. He's been a champion for a long time.
Yeah.
But just watching Justin now mature into the fighter that he is, you know, Justin Gaethje is the type of guy that comes in and just does a handstand. I don't care what workout, let's go. He's in. But now watching Justin Gaethje come in, it's a little better. He'll stretch a little bit now. You know, shadow box.
Yeah.
Really, really put thought into what he's doing now. And I know when you guys watch him fight, it's so exciting. It seems chaotic in there. But Justin Gaethje is systematically just a mastermind in creating that chaos in the fight.
Kamaru, you did a great job on TV this morning, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Guys, every Tuesday, me and Ryan Clark are on our ESPN YouTube channel, wherever you get your podcasts. And at 12 midnight on ESPN2, every week we're doing this. We're also tapping in and tapping out. For Ryan Clark, Jordan Clark, and Kamaru Usman, I'm Daniel Cormier.
Thank y'all so much.
Appreciate you guys joining us.
Appreciate
Thank you for joining
y'all.
Us for DC and RC.
Thank you, guys.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.